Well, thank you to Jeff for last week filling in. I appreciate it. It was kind of nice to be able to be on vacation, but it was kind of cool to be sitting there and watching the service as it took place as well. So thanks, Jeff. I do appreciate it. It was a good word. 2 weeks ago, we had just begun to look at what it means, Paul's instructions to us on putting on the full armor of God. And we saw that Paul led us into those verses by telling us that we are one with Jesus. We are one with Jesus in all things. And as such, that means that we have the dominion, we have the strength, we have the power of Jesus Christ. And the expectation is that we will exert that dominion, that strength, that power, that authority. We will exert that in this life. Now, we know that Jesus has defeated Satan. That is done. And we got that through the Word this morning. That is done. Satan has been defeated. But as we talked about 2 weeks ago, he's still going to put up some resistance to that. Now, one of the definitions that we saw for resistance was resistance with a capital R. And let's look at that again together because I want us to remember this. Resistance with a capital R. It's an underground organization of a conquered or nearly conquered country engaging in sabotage and secret operations against occupational forces. Is that what it says? Occupation forces. It's what we already said this morning. It's what God already spoke. We are occupying. We occupy the time and the place in the victories and in the authority of Jesus Christ. We occupy until he returns. We have the victory in Jesus Christ. The enemy, all he's trying to do is put up some resistance. He knows he's defeated. He just wants to put up resistance if he can. All he's trying to do is sabotage. We have the victory of Jesus Christ. We have the full force and the full power of Jesus Christ to overcome all of the resistance that the enemy brings. In fact, we saw 2 weeks ago, his resistance is nothing more than token resistance. That's all that it is. It's his attempt to sabotage the victories of Jesus Christ in our lives. But we are to exert. We are to cast aside all of the enemy's resistance as we exert the power, the dominion, the authority of Jesus Christ that we have. So we also saw last week that the only reason that we would need to have an armor is if we're going into battle. The only reason that we would need armor is if we're heading into battle. So the mere fact that God has given us his armor indicates that we are expected to go into battle. We are expected to advance the kingdom of God. And the expectation is that we advance the kingdom of God by exerting that dominion, that strength, that power, and that authority of Jesus Christ over all of the resistance of the enemy in our lives, but also we're to exert that same dominion, power, and authority over against all of the resistance of the enemy in the lives of the people around you as well. We need to be bold and step up. And when you see people that are being beaten down, when you see people that are yielding under the enemy, we're the ones who are supposed to support them. We're the ones who are to speak the word of God. We're the ones that are to speak the truth over them and in their lives, that they walk in the victories of Jesus Christ. Amen? Lord, I just thank you and I praise you, because your word is true. Your word brings life. Your word brings excitement. Your word brings zeal. Your word brings truth and it brings deliverance. Your word is enlightening. And so I thank you that as we meditate, we think about your word, as we read your word and we speak about your word this morning, that Holy Spirit, you stir with inside of us. You stir within each one of us individually that excitement and that anticipation to walk in that overcoming victory that you've provided for us, Jesus. We thank you and praise you in your name. Now, we also saw 2 weeks ago that we're told to put on the full armor of God. And we saw that phrase, put on, it actually means to clothe or to be clothed in the sense of sinking into a garment. Imagine that, sinking into a garment. If you sink into a garment, that indicates that you are becoming one with that garment. You have sunk into the full garment. You have sunk in. You become a part of the very fabric of Jesus Christ. You are one with Jesus in all of the victories that Jesus has already established and already won for us. This is why it's so important for us to see ourselves as we are in the spiritual realm. It's important for us to see ourselves in that full armor of God today and every day. So let's look at that specifically. Don actually already read some of those verses, but I want to read Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 10 through 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. There is so much. Again, these are verses, probably the most commonly, or at least some of the most commonly quoted and spoken and taught on verses that Paul has given us. And you can see why. It is so rich with reminders of who we are and what we have in Jesus Christ. And what Paul is saying to us, Paul has given us an insight here into the spiritual realm. Paul is exposing to you and I, he's exposing the ploys and he's exposing the activities of Satan so that we can see with spiritual eyes where the battleground really is. And the battleground is in the spiritual realm. So, what is it exactly that we are wrestling against in the spiritual realm? Let's go back and look at verse 12 again, because Paul is very specific. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That all sounds like beautiful prose, but what does that exactly mean? Well, to begin with, Paul is telling us that we wrestle against principalities. So what exactly is a principality? Well, the Greek word that we read as principality, it's helpful to understand that we see that exact same Greek word being used by Jude. Jude uses it in his letter, but Jude uses it to describe the position and the authority of angels and demons. So what Paul is speaking to us about here, Paul is speaking to us directly about demonic activity that takes place in this world. So with that understanding, we realize, we know that our enemies are not the flesh and blood people that are causing you grief. Our enemies are not the people that are causing you to struggle. It's not your boss. It's not your coworker. It's not that family member that we all have that always just seem to cause grief for everybody in the family. It's not any of those things at all. In fact, those are the very people that have given themselves over. Those are the ones that have given themselves over to demonic activity. They've yielded themselves to the demonic activity that comes from the enemy. They've given themselves over to that demonic activity in this life, and they've done that by rejecting the Word of God in their lives. So those people that are causing you problems, they're just merely pawns. They're just pawns being used by Satan. So don't waste your time wrestling against them. Instead, attack spiritually. Attack in the spiritual realm. And we do that by speaking the Word of God and by standing on the Word of God. So here's the second thing, the next thing that Paul tells us. He says that we wrestle against powers. What exactly is powers? Well, that word powers, it actually means power that comes from authority. Where does all authority ultimately come from? All authority ultimately comes from God. So this is talking about a power. This is speaking specifically about a power that does have to do with man. It is speaking about a power that comes from the rulers of this world who do have authority in this life. But again, remember, there's a spiritual element here that is affecting the actions of these people. This is talking about a delegated power. It is talking about the authority that is given by God. Well, that seems inconsistent. So what are you saying? Are you saying that those who operate in evil are operating under the authority of God? Well, consider this. Remember, you have to go back and understand that God gave to man. He gave man dominion and authority over this world and all the things of this world. God gave that dominion to man. Now, with sin in the garden, man gave that dominion and that authority over to Satan. He gave it to Satan. So Satan is now the ruler of this world. Don't be discouraged. The good stuff is coming. Satan is the ruler of this world. He is the prince of this world until the time that Jesus comes. So let's look at that from a verse that actually backs it up. Actually, we'll get to that verse in a second. So to understand that, if you understand and remember that Satan has his power and he has his authority because we're the ones, man gave that power and authority. So in this world, there are in fact then rulers of this world. There are magistrates. There are leaders. There are bosses. There are even those family leaders that we sometimes have who have given themselves over to the deceptions and to the lies of Satan. And so they are actually operating in the wisdom of the world. And the wisdom of the world is by its nature at odds with the word of God. So the people in this world who are being used, the people who are the pawns, they get their power from the ruler of this world, who is Satan. But here's the good news in Jesus Christ. This is the verse I want to look at. This is John chapter 12, verse number 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Now that was spoken in John. We read that as Jesus saying this is what's coming. But we read that now as that's already taken place. Jesus has already done that. Look at it again. Now is the judgment of this world. The ruler of this world will be cast out. The enemy has been defeated. He has already been cast out. This has been done. Man may have given the authority that God gave him to Satan, but Jesus came to this world, and he came to this world as a man. And as a man, Jesus came to this world, he defeated Satan, and he took back that power, and he took back that authority. He took it back, and now that power and that authority belongs to us. It belongs to those who believe in Jesus Christ, and it belongs to those who have received the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ. We have, you and I, we have the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. The power is with us. Satan is defeated, and now it's up to us. It's left to you and I to enforce. It's exactly what the Lord said through Donna. It's left to us to enforce the enemy's defeat in this life. And we do that by speaking the word, standing on the word of God, living out the word of God in faith as we live as his followers, as we live as his believers in Jesus Christ. We wrestle against evil powers that operate in this world, but we overcome them in the authority and the power of Jesus' name. So there are worldly rulers. There are rulers of this world. Those who oppose the Jesus that is in you. But they only have their power as long as the body of Christ fails to seize that power from them in the authority of Jesus' name. That should have been really enlightening. The enemy, those who are coming against you, they only have their power as long as we allow them to have the power. We have the authority of Jesus' name to seize that power from them, to enforce the enemy's defeat. Listen, Jesus defeated Satan. Jesus disarmed Satan. He did it publicly. He disarmed him. I think I have that verse somewhere. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. We have the authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus has already made a public spectacle of stripping Satan of his power. So Satan has been disarmed publicly, stripped of his power. And now it's up to you and I to publicly enforce his disarmament. I didn't say that word right, but it was really a good word. It's left up to you and I to publicly enforce the disarmament of Satan. The world needs to see us disarming the enemy as we stand on the Word of God, as we speak the Word, as we see his Word coming to pass in our lives. Amen? You guys look confused, like this is the power, this is the authority that we have. And it's what's expected out of us. He expects us to operate in this power at all times. So Paul also says that we wrestle against the rulers. Another phrase that sounds very poetic, but what does it mean? We wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of this age. What does that mean? Well, it's really speaking about the influence that Satan has over the lives of the worldly people that we've just been talking about. There is a spirit of darkness that is in this world. It's a spirit of darkness that Satan uses to darken the minds of individuals who yield themselves or give themselves over to the influence of the enemy. It is a darkness that is there. Here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Because this reminds us of where we came from. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Filled with this darkness, those people who are being used by pawns of the enemy, filled with this darkness, they are filled with hopelessness. They are miserable, even as they're trying to make your lives miserable, being used by the pawns of Satan. And understand this, this is not just talking about those who are unbelievers. This also, Satan will also use believers. He will use Christians as well. Any time that Christians give over our minds, our souls, our thoughts to the darkness of this world, he will use Christians as well. I've told you guys a story before. This is way, way back when I first started in radio ministry. First job as a manager, there was a woman that worked there, and this is 30-some years ago. This is a woman who, she was a believer in Jesus Christ. But she gave her thoughts over to the darkness of the enemy, the darkness of the world, all the time. She spoke darkness. She spoke everything that was contrary to the Word of God. And you know what? The time that I was there, every day I would come into work. And every day there would be some kind of conflict. And it was always this person against John, or this person against Becky, or this person against Dick, or this person against... Every day there was conflict. And it was always this person and someone else. This was 30-some years ago. I can still see. If you think about someone you haven't seen in 30-some years, I mean, just think about, if you can, think about somebody you haven't seen in a long time. Usually, you have a general idea of what they look like. But in my mind, I can see, 35 years later, I can see the fine details of this woman's face. I remember it specifically because it's left a lasting impression in my mind about, you could see the darkness that she'd given herself over to. And she was miserable, unhappy all the time. She was allowing the enemy to use her. In this world, there is a spirit of darkness. But you know what? It doesn't matter to you and I. Because you've got the light of Jesus Christ in you. You are a city on a hill whose light cannot be hid. What happens when you turn on a light? Light dispels darkness. You know, a lot of times in the body of Christ, we focus so much on the darkness and the darkness of the world. I'm talking about the darkness because I want us to understand that there is a spirit of darkness. But don't be overwhelmed by that. In fact, don't even be concerned about that, because when you walk into a room, even if there is darkness that's there, there should be an expectation that the light of Jesus in you dispels that darkness. Anybody know who Hilton Sutton is? Hilton Sutton's probably, for me, he's the greatest teacher of the book of Revelation. He's just amazing. He passed away about 4 or 5 years ago. But he had amazing insights. I'll never forget, one of the things that Hilton Sutton taught is he would get very perturbed because he would speak all across the world. And he said in America, it doesn't matter where he would go to places, and he would get there and they would say, oh, well, there is such darkness. I mean, he's going to speak in churches. And as soon as he get there, the church people, there's such darkness. He said, you cannot believe how many cities will tell you that this is the witchcraft capital east of the Mississippi or west of the Mississippi. He said every region thinks they're the witchcraft. He said they focus so much on darkness. And so he'd get off the plane, he'd be talking to people, and he'd say, oh, there's so much darkness here. And Hilton said, he said, you know what? I don't see any darkness because I have the light of Jesus. And so when I come into an area, the darkness flees. If you are focused on the darkness, you're probably focused on the wrong things. We have the light of Jesus. So there is a spirit of darkness in the world, and we need to be aware of that. But we need to be aware of it so that we can speak. We can be the ones who are used. We can be the ones who speak the word of God. We speak His truth because anytime it's just Satan trying to put up resistance. It's a failed resistance, and he's lost. But he's putting up resistance, trying to get people to miss out on their victories. We're the ones who know and understand the truth, and so we should be walking in to the lives of other people with that light of Jesus Christ. Let me go back to that woman that I talked about that I used to work with. I want to get to the point in my life where the light of Jesus emanates from me so powerfully, so unimpeded by this flesh, that people around me respond directly to that light. So that if I would have come to this woman with that light of Jesus, that the darkness in her would have fled. Now you might say that's not possible, but think about this. Think about Peter. Peter would just walk past people, and even Peter's shadow, which is the opposite of light, even Peter's shadow was so filled with light that people were healed. This is who we are. We are the light of Jesus Christ. So, when Paul says that we wrestle against the rulers of the darkness of this age, he's letting us know that there is darkness in this world, but it's not a matter for you and I to fear about or think about. In fact, it's a matter for you and I to go, let's go out and be the light of Jesus, and let's dispel the darkness from our lives and from the lives of the people that we see around us, including those who are even in the body of Christ, like the woman that I was speaking about. Because there are a lot of people in the body of Christ who are so focused on the darkness that they wind up being pawns. They don't intend to, they don't mean to, but they wind up being pawns being used by the enemy. We have the light of Jesus. So then finally, Paul says that we're also supposed to wrestle against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. To oversimplify, this is just telling us. It's telling us where the battle takes place. The battle takes place in the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm. And we already have the victory of Jesus Christ in the spiritual realm. The battle is already won. So we are the ones who, in the authority of Jesus Christ, can bring all of the promises of His word from the spiritual realm where they exist right now and have them manifest here in the natural realm in our lives and when you pray and when you speak the word over the lives of others as well. This is why it's so imperative for us to see ourselves as we are in the spiritual realm. To see ourselves as we are in the spiritual realm in the full armor of God. This is why it's imperative for us to see ourselves putting chase to the enemy, not the other way around. Because it needs to be that when the enemy sees you, he sees the established victories of Jesus Christ about to be enforced against him. That's who we are. That's the light that we need to be. This is how we wrestle. So now let's look at. So we've seen all of these things that Paul says we're supposed to wrestle against. Paul uses that word wrestle when he's speaking to us about that ongoing struggle that we have, that struggle that takes place, that struggle that takes place in the spiritual realm as we struggle and stand against wickedness, against malice, against iniquities of all the spiritual forces that are in this world. We stand, and we stand in the victory of Jesus Christ. But Paul uses the word wrestle. He's telling us that we wrestle against those things. It is truly amazing to realize what Paul intended for you to understand when you read that word. It's amazing to realize what Paul expected you to understand when he used that word wrestle. In Thayer's Greek lexicon, that word wrestle means this. Two things. It means, with this preface, and then two things. It means to wrestle. It means this has been understood through all of antiquity. This is what Thayer said. This understanding has been understood through all of antiquity to mean what wrestle is defining for us. First of all, it means to vibrate and to shake. That's number one. Remember, we'll come back to that. To vibrate and to shake. Now, here's the second. And I want you to see this definition. This is directly from Thayer's Greek lexicon. It says, a contest between two, in which each endeavors to throw the other, and which is decided when the victor is able to hold down his protagonist with his hand upon his neck. Now, in the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah in the book of Lamentations uses that exact same terminology. He's talking about being held down with the hand upon the neck, and he uses it to symbolize a yoke. A yoke is what was put on the neck of an animal. It was put on a beast of burden to subjugate that animal so that animal would do the work and the will of its master. No matter what you may face in your life, today or ever, no matter what you may face, remember that Jesus has defeated Satan. Now, Satan might put up resistance to keep you from walking in the victories of Jesus. But again, it is merely his attempt to sabotage the victory that is yours in Jesus. You and I, we need to understand this all the time. There's going to be moments that I have to face the enemy. I must face him. But I do it in the assured victory of Jesus Christ. And I do it in the full armor of God. We've got to face him, but you face him in the assured victory, and you face him in the armor of God. However, if I choose not to face the enemy, if instead I choose to run from the enemy, that's when the enemy is able to throw me down and put his hand on my neck. Sometimes in life, life can feel like a heavy burden. Right? And we've all been there. Sometimes life just feels like a burden. It feels like a yoke. When life feels like a burden, that should be a sign to me that somehow I have allowed the enemy to put his yoke, his burden on me. You are never a burden of beast for the enemy. You never submit to his yoke, ever. You stand. And as you stand in the authority of Jesus' name and you speak the word, you stand and we throw the enemy down. We throw the enemy down so that our hand is on his neck. That's the authority that we have, and that's the way we need. This is why it's so imperative for us to see ourselves as we truly are in the spiritual realm, seeing ourselves victorious and seeing ourselves in that full armor that we have in God. So we need to throw off that yoke. Never allow that yoke to be upon us. That's exactly what Paul is trying to explain to us. When Paul tells us to wrestle, this is exactly what Paul means. So how do we do that? Well, let's go back. Remember, second part or the first part of that definition. We looked at wrestle. What was the first part of it? The first part was to shake, yes, and to vibrate. When you speak the word of God in the authority of Jesus' name, you shake this world. You speak the word of God in the authority of Jesus' name, and the things of this world are shaken and they change. Everything that is opposed to the promises in this world, in this word, everything in this world that is opposed to these promises, they are shaken until they change, until they align with the word of God. You guys remember Etch-A-Sketch? You guys know what Etch-A-Sketch is? Do you? Okay, good. So Etch-A-Sketch was one of the most horrible toys that we ever got because it left you feeling like you were totally non-artistic. All you could ever do is build steps, right? You'd like, hey, Mom, look, I built steps. That's all you can do because you can only do those straight lines, you know, vertical or horizontal. When you tried to get really creative and you tried to do, it just wound up being disaster. It was hideous. It was chaos. It was ugly. But here's what you do with an Etch-A-Sketch. You make chaos and you make ugliness, you shake it up. And as soon as you shake it up, everything is right back to order and clear and cleansed. This is the way that it is. This is why Paul tells us to wrestle. When you speak, this is how you wrestle. When you speak the word of God in the authority of Jesus' name, when you speak the word, you are shaking up everything around you until it lines up once again with the word of God. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah has a vision. And Isaiah sees the Lord sitting on a throne. And it says, his veil filled the temple. And then it says, at the voice of the Lord, the foundations of the temple were shaken. At the voice of the Lord. I want you to see this in the Amplified. This is Isaiah 6:4. And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who cried, and the house was filled with smoke. When we speak the word of God in the authority of Jesus' name, the very foundations of this natural world are shaken and they change. You may not see it immediately. You might speak the word and not see the results right now. But it's already done in the spiritual realm. When you speak the word of God in authority, everything in this natural world is shaken and changed until it lines up. If you don't see it, wait for it and stand, and you will see the greater realities of the spiritual realm displace the lesser realities of this natural realm. Speak the word of God and see things shake. David speaks the exact same thing to us in 2 Samuel chapter 22. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, David is speaking, and he's talking specifically about the shaking that is caused by the vibrations of the spoken word of the Lord. So look at this. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse number 8. Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations of heaven quaked and were shaken because he was angry. Now, if you go further down, if you look at this whole chapter, it's a great chapter. This is actually a chapter of David thanking God for his deliverance. As you read down further into that chapter, you're going to read that David says this. This is verses 38 through 41. I have pursued my enemies. He's laying out the exact tact that we are supposed to take in the power and authority. He didn't have the victory of Jesus Christ. We do. But he's showing us exactly the direction we're supposed to take. I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them. Jesus has already defeated Satan, but it still is up to you and I to pursue after him and enforce his defeats. I have pursued the enemies and destroyed them. Neither did I turn back again until they were destroyed. You speak the word of God. You cause those vibrations to shake and change the natural world around you until everything that is yours, promised by Jesus Christ, is what comes to pass in your life. And you do it over the lives of others as well. Shake up their existence so they see the promises of Jesus coming to pass in their lives as well. And you don't turn back until you see it done. Again, you might not see it immediately. That's okay. You know that it's done in the spiritual realm. Wait for it. Stand. And you'll see it take place. I destroyed them and wounded them so that they could not rise up. They have fallen under my feet. For you have armed me. This is so much truer for you and I in Jesus Christ. You have armed me with strength for battle. You have subdued under me those who rose against me. Jesus has subdued under you the one who rose up against you. You have also given me, here you go, you have given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. We have the full armor of Jesus Christ, and we are expected to advance the kingdom of God. We have the armor, advance in the kingdom of God. We advance, never turning back. And we advance, casting aside every resistance that the enemy puts up against you until the enemy is thrown down before you with your hand, empowered by the word of God, upon his neck. Jesus has defeated Satan. He has stripped Satan of his power and his authority. It's done. And he's strengthened you and I to enforce that disarmament. This is who Paul This is what he's explaining to us. This is what he's saying for us to do as we wrestle. Put on, advance the kingdom of God. Put on the full armor of God and advance the kingdom of God. Speaking the word of God in the authority of Jesus' name. And as you do so, watch the spiritual vibrations that emanate out and change the world so that everything that's opposed to the word of God in your life and in the lives of those around you, that those things are all changed until they line up with the promises and the victories of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up and praise him today because he is worthy of our praise this morning.